We are back with the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're studying a Sunday school lesson on how Peter heals the lame man from Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And that part of this lesson we're studying is under the caption of the Sweet Hour of Prayer. You know, we sing that song sometimes, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care. Isn't it wonderful that we can have an hour of prayer to get away from the woes and the troubles and the turmoils of this world? And when I sing that song with a congregation, I think not just of prayer. It is a sweet hour of worship that we have together, and that may be what the intent of that song is, because when we gather together, we don't just pray, we sing, and we study God's Word together. We use that as the opportunity to give of our means, and on the first day of the week, we take the Lord's Supper. And so it is an hour of worship that we have, and it is the sweetest hour of the week when we come together for worship. And so we can very well call that sweet hour of prayer, prayer standing for the whole of the worship. But in this lesson, it's talking about what we read about in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now Peter and John were going up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask to receive an alms. Well, we'll get to that text in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at Elam's notes. These are the notes he prepared for the Sunday schools of May the 22nd, 1927. The temple service was not at once abandoned by the apostles and other Jewish Christians, and probably not fully until the destruction of the temple. The apostles may have used this time too as a fit opportunity for teaching the people concerning Jesus and his kingdom. This type of service and the activities of the temple during this time was no longer required, for the old law had been done away. But it was the customary to do these things, and so these things tend to pass from legal obligations unto comfortable customs that they had, and it would just be temporary. All of these things, not one stone left upon another, it would be done away, and so with it all these services. But then we read about this lame man at the Beautiful Gate, and I think of that. We're going to read about how his ankle bones receive strength. Have you ever seen someone that had not used their legs for a long time, and how their legs atrophy and their feet turned in, and their legs are so small and spindly, and it is not a pretty sight? And here we have a man about 40 years old that had never walked. Surely his legs must have looked pitiful and not something that you would think of as beautiful, something maybe even troubling to see. And yet he was laid at the Beautiful Gate, this pitiful sample of humanity, laid at a place of beautiful architecture. Well, the man was lame from his birth. He had never walked. He must be carried upon the loving hands of others. His inability to walk seemed to be in his feet and ankle bones, verse 7. He was, when healed, more than 40 years old, Acts 4:22. All this made it indeed a notable miracle. It was done in daylight, in a most public place, and just when a multitude were passing at the hour of prayer. He was well known. The people easily recognized him after he was healed as the one who set at alms for the beautiful gate of the temple, verse 10. It was the custom of his friends to place him there daily. Hence, those passing would soon become familiar with his appearance. Josephus says that there were 9 gates to the temple. The others were of equal size. This one was larger. He describes it. Its height was 50 cubits, and its doors 40 cubits, and it was adorned after a most costly manner, with much richer and thicker plates of silver and gold than the others. This last was probably the gate called Beautiful. It was broader than the others, and was the most common entrance to the temple. It was thought to have been on the east side of the temple. The lame beggar was placed there because he would see more people. Besides, when the people went to worship in the temple, they carried money to put into the treasury and to give to the poor. And so that was a convenient place for him to ask for alms. And when Peter and John passed, he asked alms of them as of the rest. And then he was healed. Well, here's what we read. Acts chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave them heed, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and leaping, he stood and began to walk, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, Peter, with John, looked straightly and intently at him and said, "Look on us." They desired his entire attention. They knew they would heal him and wanted him to know it was not they who were, but men who did it. He gave heed unto them, that is, did what they told him, expecting nothing more than alms. As usual, Peter spoke first, declaring that he had no silver and gold, but offering to bestow on him such blessing as he could bestow. Then Peter directed his attention to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that he and John acted in Christ's name and by his authority. So he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Peter accompanied his command to walk by the action of extending his hand and taking the lame man by the right hand and lifting him up. The man saw from the earnest countenance of Peter and John that they meant what they said. When one attempts to obey God, God always gives him the needed assistance. But it is God's way that man should do all in his power. Encouraged by this action of Peter, the lame man made an effort to arise, and the blessing of God came with the attempt. Immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received the strength. This was a miracle that people could witness and see even as it progressed. Perceiving his newly gained strength, he leaped up and stood. He'd never done this before. You know, when people today aren't able to walk or some accident or break a hip, they go into therapy and it takes sometimes several weeks to regain the strength to be able to do what they used to do. And here's something the young man had never done, or the lame man had never done. He had never walked before, and he didn't have to learn how. With the strength in his legs and feet, so also came the ability to be able to use that strength for its intended purpose. He stood first and well poised. He then walked and leaped, following the apostles, into the temple, praising God for his newly received strength and wonderful blessing. He realized the blessing came from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Looking to the days of Jesus, Isaiah said in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, "Then the eye of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." Well, this had effect among the people. We read in Acts chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. "All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they took knowledge of him, that it was he that sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him." The people were familiar, as stated, with this man's appearance, and for the reasons given. And when they saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him, that it was he that sat in alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They could not be deceived or mistaken, and hence were filled with wonder and amazement at what had been done. In his gratitude, he clung to Peter and John. The people saw this and heard his loud expression of praise, and they ran together unto them in the porch, greatly wondering. Now, Peter saw the amazement of the people, that they were unable to account for this miracle, and were ready to ascribe it to something superhuman in himself and John, rather than to the power of Jesus Christ. He at once directed their minds to the fact that it was through no power, it was through no power or holiness of their own that the man was made whole, but through faith in the name of Jesus. God bore witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by manifold powers and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will, Hebrews 2 and verse 4. This showed God's power was with the apostles, and with great power gave the apostles their witness, that is, their testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Acts 4 and verse 33. These were all Jews, and believed in the God of our fathers, and claimed to believe the Old Testament scriptures. Hence, Peter appealed to these scriptures to prove the claims of Jesus to be the Son of God. He showed not only what had to heal the lame man, but that Jesus was the Holy and Just One and Prince of Life, who had suffered as God foreshone by the mouth of all the prophets, verse 18, whom God had raised from the dead, and of which fact he had made the apostles witnesses. These Jews denied Jesus, the author of life, he who came to earth to bring life, and put him to death, while they desired the release of Barabbas, a murderer, one who destroyed life. They delivered Jesus up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate had determined to release them. God had raised him from the dead, and through faith which the apostles had in his name, the lame man had been healed. All this power was ascribed to Jesus as its source, and came through their faith in him. Peter did not hesitate to show them the great enormity of their sin, but he encouraged them to hope for forgiveness, in that they did it in ignorance, as did their rulers. And you might want to look at 1 Timothy 1:13 and the rest of this chapter. Well, when we return to the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to see that for preaching Jesus, Peter and John were imprisoned, and we'll see the results of their trial in our next class.